Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your unsuperstitious host, not afraid to do a Friday the 13th show at all. As a matter of fact, this is your lucky day because we got two great hours for you. Second hour, Scott Wieman will be here, and we'll do what we do with Scott. Scott's the founder of Catholic in Recovery, and we'll talk about recovery from addiction. And if that's something that you'd like to talk about, maybe something that's affecting your family, your workplace, yourself, second hour, perfect time to get to chat with Scott about all of that. This hour, we're going to talk a bit about evangelizing. How do you share the good news in bad times? And maybe you don't feel the times are bad, but I think to a lot of folks, they do feel. These feel like a rough time to be Catholic. These feel like a rough time to be sharing the gospel. And so we've got one of the best. And talk about being lucky for Friday the 13th. We're very lucky to welcome Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He's the author of a whole bunch of books, including Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality, and Read the Bible, Ignite, Read the Bible Like Never Before. And that's just the beginning. The dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thanks for being here with us.
I am honored to be here back on Catholic Answers Live. It's always great to be with you, Cy.
Well, thanks. Does it feel like bad times to you at all? I mean, I know you are among the most positive. You're just not a down person. But does it, with all the deaths we've had lately and just the situation in the world and the church, does it feel like bad times to you?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things when certain things happen in succession, it seems like it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right? If things happen sporadically and spread out, it doesn't seem that bad. But with everything coming together, right, the death of Pope Benedict XVI and then the death of Cardinal Pell, who I actually got to meet during the Jubilee Year of Mercy, I was honored to be one of four deacons from the United States invited to Rome to speak at a Jubilee Year of Mercy event. And they broke the four of us up and put us with other English-speaking deacons. And so at the venues that we were at, they assigned a cardinal to each of the venues, and our cardinal for my event was Cardinal Pell.
Oh.
So I got a chance to actually meet him, which was wonderful. Yeah, so you have all of that. Do you have what's going on in the economy, you know, the recession? You have the fact that coming back from COVID, many places are struggling for people to come back to Mass, and people don't believe Jesus is present in the Eucharist. You have all these things going on, and it seems overwhelming. But this is when we rely on the power of God and the sacraments of the church most of all.
Well, that's the thing is one of the things that I believe that your ministry is about is empowering people to share that message, not just to go out and do it yourself, but to put people, other people in the position to do it. So give us some of your keys to what you think about, what you try to share with people about how to share what really is the best possible news in a time that people don't feel that good.
Yeah, we talked about this before, Cy, right? We're talking about evangelization, a new evangelization. And evangelization, it comes from the word, it means good news, right?
Yeah.
But sharing Jesus Christ is more than good news, because the encounter with Jesus Christ could change your life. So really, evangelization is about life-changing news. It's a personal, intimate encounter with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the sacraments are all about. But often the sacraments are things that happen to us or things that we do, and we don't connect them to our everyday lived experience. So I think connecting more deeply, understanding the sacraments and connecting more deeply with them and seeing them as vehicles where God literally reaches out and touches us with his life, gives us his grace, and in that grace empowers us to live as signs and witnesses of God's love to the world. You know, this reminds me, this time we're in right now, Cy, reminds me a lot of what happened in the book of Daniel, chapters 1-3, during the Babylonian exile under King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar
yeah.
comes in and just overwhelms the people and brings them into and begins to oppress them. And it feels like a juggernaut in our culture today. You have all these things, pornography and the whole transgenderism movement and so-called redefinition of marriage, all these different things. And it seems like, God, we have no chance. You know, what's even the point? You know, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar counted on. But what he didn't count on was the three, well, four, but particularly in the flames, the three young men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, standing strong and firm in their faith. And that witness, an example, that's what eventually led to Nebuchadnezzar's conversion. It's incredible. And that's the story we need to live today.
The number is 888-318-7884. I know there are many people who would like to talk with Deacon Daryl Herb. Burke Sivers, just one of certainly among the people I know, where I go, people say, "Oh yeah, we had Deacon Harold here one." So well received wherever he goes, and really does seem to have many of the keys to how to evangelize, how to share the person of Jesus Christ. If you've got questions about that, 888-318-7884. You mentioned the sacraments a lot. What does the sacramental life have to do with me sharing Jesus with other people? What's the connection?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, and this is important, especially when it comes to our young people, because there's a serious disconnect between the sacraments and the everyday lived experience, particularly for teenagers and young adults. I'll give you an example.
Right.
A parent recently shared with me that they went into their daughter's room and a daughter had a list on the wall of like bullet points. And I think one of them, the title of one listed things that are in and things that are out. So things that are in included like musical groups and different foods and different things like that. And on the list of things that were out was sacraments. And I was like, whoa. See, and that shows me where many of our young people are. So sacraments are sensible signs that are instituted by Christ that confer grace. And by the action of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, those sacraments contain what they signify and transmit what they contain. So it's water, yes, it's a sign, it's a symbol, but it also contains and transmits the grace that God is intending to give us in and through that sacrament. The problem is, sacraments for many young people have become mechanical.
Yes, absolutely.
You get baptized, you get confirmed, you receive the Eucharist. It's just this thing that you do that really has no import or connection to your life outside of the church, you know, outside of the sacrament. We need to completely change that. And we have to start by seeing sacraments as a way of entering into deeply and intimately a relationship of love and communion with Jesus Christ. We have to start there. What do we do, Si? When you're in love with somebody, you give them flowers. You give them card. You have, right? And those are little signs and symbols that show the depth of your love. Sacraments are so much more than that because they touch us at the deepest level of our being. That's what connects us to Jesus Christ. The more we access the grace of that sacraments, the more we're able to be able to live in his love, and the more we'll be witnesses and examples to the power of that love in a world that is so devoid of that kind of love. The world's love is self-centered. They worship the God of me, myself, and I, you know, and we need to change that by showing them that relationship with Jesus Christ is the heart, the center, the focus, and the center of our entire being and existence.
It's extraordinary to hear you talk about the sacraments like that. And you just wonder why we don't hear more talk about the sacraments like that, that the idea of that close, intimate relationship with Jesus in which I know that I'm loved and I'm empowered to love other people. That is just not the way we hear people talk about the sacraments.
That is so true. For example, let's take marriage, right? Marriage comes from the word matrimonium, which means the state or condition of motherhood, right? So this beautiful idea of this spirituality where we make a complete gift of ourselves to others, right? And the other makes a complete gift of themselves to us. So in that sacramental bond of matrimony, what does that do? That anticipates Revelation 19, verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb, where Christ, the eternal bridegroom, will give life to his bride forever in heaven. That's how it's lived out in sacramental marriage. It witnesses to that relationship. So it's not just a matter of me just loving my wife. I'm entering into a deep, intimate relationship that reflects the relationship with God. That so our job is to help get each other to heaven. That means, Cy, that when I said I do at that altar as a man, that means I said I die. I die. I die to everything that separates me from God's love. I die to my ego, because my job now is to serve, protect, and defend the heart of love, my wife and my children. The priest does the same thing as sacramental ordination to the priesthood. That anticipates, again, Revelation 19, verse 9, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the priest is in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, imitating the person of Christ, the bridegroom of heaven, while the nuns imitate the heavenly bride of Christ. That's why they wear their dress, the habit with the veil. That's their wedding gown and their wedding veil. So whenever we see a beautiful sister or a nun, and the difference between sisters and nuns, right? Nuns are cloistered. When we see them, we're seeing the on earth a glimpse of the heavenly reality of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So when we start to look at the sacraments that way, when I don't just look at my wife as somebody that I love, someone that I share my body with, it's someone I give my entire life to, my entire self to, that anticipates a much deeper reality that we will live forever in heaven, in the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven.
The number is 888-318-7884. I'm supposed to go to a break, but I don't want to, because I want to ask you one more question about this, because you've got me hooked here. And that is that, do you think sometimes that we don't experience the power of the sacraments because it's us withholding ourselves? It's not God withholding himself from us, but like what you just said, like, am I going to the sacraments thinking I'm giving myself entirely to God? Or am I going to the sacraments just kind of half-heartedly? And that's the difference between whether we experience the graces of the sacraments or don't.
That's a great point. I mean, let's be honest. How many times that when we go up to receive our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Sacrament, where we have the attitude that you just said, wow, what I'm doing right now, I'm about to unite my body with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the God of the universe. I'm actually going to have God inside of me. What does that mean for my life? What does that mean when I walk out of this church? How is my life different? How can God unleash his grace in my life because I say yes and cooperate with the grace I'm receiving in that sacrament? If more of us thought like that and then acted on the grace that we received that assists us to get through the mire of this life, think about Psalm 90, written by Moses, our span is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. And most of these are emptiness and pain. They pass swiftly and we are gone. And so Christ, knowing that the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, gives us the grace in the sacraments to enable us to overcome anything that tries to separate us from God's love in this world. That's the power of the sacraments.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. We're talking about sharing the good news in bad times. We'd love to hear your call, 888-318-7884. I know I've made callers wait. I got to take a quick break, but I will go right to the phones with Deacon Burke Sivers right after this.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, why don't you air these people? And I said, no, because I don't think they're Catholic. He says, by what right do you have to say that? I said, I own the network.
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest, the dynamic deacon. If you've got questions about sharing the faith in these difficult times, 888-318-7884. Whether you want to know about sharing the faith within the family, maybe within your marriage or other relationship, or maybe outside the family, in the world, in the workplace, all that. Whatever the question, you are welcome here. 888-318-7884. Well, you already know it's Friday the 13th, but did you know it's your lucky day? It's your lucky day because at shop.catholic.com, you've got a chance to save big time on hundreds of great Catholic resources. Get on over to shop.catholic.com right now and take advantage of our 23 New Year's special. Spend $23 or more on our online shop at shop.catholic.com. Enter the promo code New Year and when you check out and you save 23% off your entire order. It's easy. Just enter the promo code New Year at shop.catholic.com. And if you've spent $23 or more, you save 23% on your entire order. There are lots of folks on the line. Deacon, shall we go right to the phones?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Odessa, Texas. Joseph in Odessa, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. We're very happy to have you here, Joseph. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Very well, thank you.
Just had a question on how to evangelize to someone who is sort of closed off to the fullness of the truth, whom I work closely with, specifically Jehovah's Witness.
Okay, so how to share someone who's not Catholic, right, but has some kind of faith and doesn't have the fullness of the truth? Is that basically your question, Joseph?
Yeah, they're devoted to their faith, but of course it's almost a 180 from Catholicism.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for your question. You know, I think the key, Joseph, is meeting people where they are. And we hear that all the time. But what does that mean? I'll give you a real concrete example. I was at a Theology on Tap speaking engagement once, and I asked a rhetorical question to the Catholic group, and this was at a secular pub, you know, and the bartender who was assigned to the group, you know, I said, "How many of you would give your kids drugs and alcohol?" And everybody laughed, but the bartender said, "I would." Right. And I thought he was trying to heckle me. So I have to talk to you when we're done here. So everybody laughed. And then after the talk, when I was packing up, he actually came and wanted to talk about it. And this was a person that has no faith at all, Joseph. So I said, "What person in their right mind would want to give their kids drugs and alcohol?" He said, "It's like when I do the shrooms, man." So I said, "Wait a minute. You ingest hallucinogenic mushrooms?" He said, "Yeah, like there's this energy of the universe. We have to connect with the universe. So I drive to a beautiful place, I eat the mushrooms, get high. And when I get high, I feel connected to the rocks and the trees in the universe." So I said, I said, "Let me see if I understand what you're saying. You believe there's something out there greater than yourself. You call it energy or the universe. And you feel a need within yourself to connect with that. And the way you do that, you drive to a beautiful place, eat these mushrooms, and get high. And in that euphoria, you feel connected to everything around you and to whatever the energy is in the universe." He said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what? I can totally appreciate where you're coming from." And here's what I said to him, Joseph. I said, "We as Catholics also believe that there's a force of the universe. We call him God. And we also feel a need to connect with this God of the universe. And the way we do that, we also drive to a beautiful place. It's called church. And in that beautiful place, we don't eat mushrooms and get high, but we consume what we call the Eucharist, which we believe to be the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the God of the universe. And when we consume that Eucharist, we're connected with all of our fellow Catholics and with all of nature and with God himself." He looked at me and was like, "Yeah, man." You know?
That's wild.
So I wasn't trying to convert him. I wasn't trying to, but see what I did there, Joseph? I made a connection with him. Why is that so powerful? Because now he wants to listen to more of what I have to say. I didn't come in saying, how could you believe something so stupid? You know, eating mushrooms and getting high. How are you supposed to connect that? See, the tendency is that let me show you why I'm right and you're wrong. No. It's how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? And it connected it with the theme of today's show, Joseph. I believe the more that we cooperate with the grace of the sacraments, the more we'll be able to recognize that situation and then respond appropriately because the Holy Spirit is also helping us in that moment. I hope that helps you.
Yes, yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph, and God bless you.
You're most welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, God bless you in your efforts at sharing the fullness of the good news, which I think in the case of Jehovah's Witnesses, that's what you're doing, because a part of the good news has reached that person, but they need to know the fullness of the good news, that Jesus is God come among us and has established a church for our good. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. The number to chat with Deacon is 888-318-7884. George on Facebook says he saw Deacon Harold Burke Sivers give a talk and standing ovation at the end of it. And Michael says, if you aren't excited after one of Deacon's talks, you need to consult a doctor. That's how powerful he is. You should have him come wherever you are. Just a magnificent speaker. And we're very delighted to have him here with us today. 888-318-7884. Next, we go to Napomo, California. Our friend Steve in Napomo watching on YouTube. Steve, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you, especially Sly, for what you've done for me as an Catholic coming towards the church. Wife was a Catholic, or is a Catholic, and when I first met her when we turned 18 and 16, she told me that Jesus came before me. And
good for
I,
her.
Thank God she told me that.
Yeah,
thank God she told me that. It ripped my worldview apart right before I had become a Christian. Your life seems to be a lot like that. And I really appreciate what both you guys bring to the table, and it's been critical in helping me, even with the scandals you guys are talking about on and on. You help put them in perspective and move on. I just want to give you that and thank you and bless you guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much, Steve. And let me just point out something you said, because you said something very important there about the scandal, Steve. You know, and that's really important. Why? Because what we have to do is focus on the teaching of the church, not the people in the church. Because all of us are sinners in need of God's mercy. Think about this. King David, Steve, is the greatest king in the history of Israel, right? Acts of the Apostles calls him a man after God's own heart. But wait a minute, what about Bathsheba, right? He had Uriah, her husband, killed so because of the illicit affair and got her pregnant. That's a made-for-TV movie, right? But the thing is, even despite that, he asked for forgiveness. Right. When he was approached by the prophet Nathan, he asked for forgiveness, and because he's the only king that never worshiped another God. So even though he was a sinner and needed God's mercy, even David himself focused on the teaching and sought forgiveness. And we can't focus on the people. And so as long as we keep that perspective, Steve, we'll be in good shape. But thank you for that.
God bless you, Steve. Thank you very, very much for the call. And we have lots of lines open on this Friday afternoon, which sometimes happens on a Friday afternoon, but a great time to talk to one of America's great Catholic speakers and teachers, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, 888-318-7884. Especially maybe you've got kids. You know, one thing we have become aware of in recent years is that many kids, because of the internet stuff and all that, are losing their Catholic faith, are losing their sense that God loves them at a very early age, sometimes before parents are aware of it. So maybe you have questions about continuing to share the good news with your teenage and even pre-teenage kids. If that's you, you're welcome here. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And I think sometimes, Deacon Harold, why people don't ask about the kids is because by the time they realize they need help, they've already made mistakes in sharing the faith with the kids. And then we're embarrassed that, oh, I didn't do this right. I didn't, you know, my kid isn't the star pupil in catechism class. My kid's the kid that doubts or challenges everything. So what do you say to parents who want that so badly for their kids, but they're struggling in that area?
I'll even go one better. I'll build on what you just said. That was so wonderful and articulate. Again, connecting it to Daniel, if you look in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, right around verse 3 and 4, it says that the king's eunuch, Ashpenaz, brought some of the people of Israel, the youth, without blemish and who were skillful in all wisdom, and began to teach them the letters and the language of the Chaldeans. So what Nebuchadnezzar is doing, he begins the process of brainwashing the best and the brightest of Israel's youth. He's indoctrinating them into a secular way of thinking.
Wow.
So he's saying, you will no longer think like people of God, you're going to think like us. You can't tell me. That is exactly what is going on in our culture today, that our culture is turning our young people into intellectual zombies and androids by exposing them to the letters and the language of God-denying institutions. And I think this is happening in two ways, Si. First is
through portable media. Because we got the music playing. That'll be a perfect spot.
Oh, okay.
We'll do the two ways that that's happening, because that is such an amazing insight. Going after the best and the brightest of believing youth. We'll continue this conversation with Deacon Harold right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Catholic Answers Live is 25 years old. That's a quarter century helping people come into deeper communion with the Catholic faith. As we move into our second quarter century, please help us reach thousands more by becoming a Society 315 monthly donor. Right now, when you join Society 315 at a monthly giving level of $25 or more, we've added some extra perks to the other great benefits we already offer members. Go to givecatholic.com and choose the monthly option to start your donation.
As a child, the great theologian Thomas Aquinas asked, "What is God?" Best-selling author Kevin Vost's new book follows the mature thought of Aquinas in answering that question. In clear and approachable fashion, What is God examines God's attributes and considers questions about him that have vexed mankind for centuries. Order your copy of What is God today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life. But only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Hi, this is Janet Benkovic-Williams. There's nothing like Women of Grace to explain the truth of our faith Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest, and you are welcome to call with your question. There's two lines open right now, 888-318-7884. We're talking about sharing the good news in bad times, and I was asking you, Deacon, about a lot of Catholic parents are kind of embarrassed that, well, we didn't do it right. You know, what did I do that my child didn't receive the faith in the way that, you know, this other kid down the street is, or this whole family, you know, did a great job and my family didn't. And you were giving us the analogy to the young people, the good young faithful of the Hebrew people under the tutelage of Nebuchadnezzar when they were taken into captivity. And so would you continue with that?
Sure. So one thing also just very quickly for parents, look, you know, you could do everything right and the kids could still go off. You could be homeschooling, you'd be going to, you know, mass every, all of that, because the children have to appropriate the faith for themselves. And what I'm articulating here is the battle we're up against, the family versus the culture. And so I was talking about the two ways in which the Nebuchadnezzar, the culture today, are indoctrinating our youth and being brainwashed into secular ways of thinking. One of them is portable. Okay, so I'm talking about mobile phones, social media, and video games. Now look, each of those things in and of themselves is not an issue, but when they become your God, then they become your problem. When they begin to take over your life, when your child can't imagine being separated from their phone for an hour, that's when it becomes a problem. So that's, and I could go into more detail, but that's just one way. And the second way is 16 years of Babylonian education, 8 years of grade school, 4 years of high school, and 4 years of college. And let's be real, even at Catholic institutions,
right,
some of which are proud that kids that graduate are less Catholic when they first got there, because now they're more open-minded and now they're more, you know, able to think, well, no. These God-denying institutions are not teaching our young people how to think. They're teaching them what to think. And that is intellectually, spiritually, and morally corrupt and dishonest. And that's exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar did. So parents, it's not just you. You have to understand the juggernaut that we're up against. But yet, we are not without hope because we are firm believers in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Connecticut. Mary in Connecticut, listening on Veritas Catholic Radio Network. Mary, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Deacon, I heard you on Tuesday on Open Line, and you were
Wait,
awesome.
He's been cheating
thank
on
you
us?
Very much.
What the...
Well, you no. He was covering.
Yeah, I was filling in for Father Wade Meneses.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll pray for Father Meneses' quick recovery then.
I think he had shoulder surgery or something. Anyway, question is, I hear, you know, the rosary is a very wonderful prayer, and I've been doing it, but I don't like doing it. It's boring. Can you help me get some inspiration as to... Like, I you know, I
sure.
listen to... Thank you.
Yep.
Did yeah. You? And so let me say it within the context of a real experience, because I think it's often wonderful to share personal experiences. So when I first moved to Oregon, I worked in Salem, and there was a young lady there who was baptized Catholic, but that was it, just ritual baptism. Let's just dunk her, because that's what we have to do. No First Communion, no First Reconciliation, no Confirmation, no Mass, nothing, just baptism. So I was being a gentleman, walking her to her car after work, and it was wintertime, so it was dark early, and we walked in the parking lot under my car was parked under a street light, and there was a rosary hanging from the rearview mirror. So she goes to me, "That's a rosary, right?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "That's the thing with all the Hail Marys on it?" I'm like, "Yeah, you want to see how it works?" And so I grabbed the rosary, and I always keep rosaries all around me here. I'm surrounded by rosaries, right? And so I was showing her, and here's what I did. Instead of like saying, "Well, you know, let me tell you about the Battle of Lepanto, and let me tell you how our Blessed Mother handed the rosary to St. Dominic." You know, her question was, "Why do you do that?" It's a personal question. So I gave her a personal answer. "Mary," I said, "all we're doing is we're reflecting on the mysteries of our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection through the heart of his Blessed Mother." So I took, for example, the joyful mysteries, the Annunciation. So that's when the angel came to the Virgin Mary. And Mary said yes. Even though she didn't fully understand exactly what God was doing, she said yes because she trusted God. Do I trust God enough? As I'm praying that the mystery of that rosary, am I saying, do I trust God enough to be able to give myself totally to him like that 15 or 16-year-old girl did? Do I have that much trust in God? Then the visitation, she went to visit her kinswoman Elizabeth. When I receive the Eucharist at Mass, I'm in a sense pregnant, right? I put that in quotes, pregnant with Christ. Do I, like Mary, go to take Christ out? Am I willing to bear witness and share the faith? So I walked her through the mysteries. And we talked for about 20 minutes or so. And I never brought it up again. 9 years later, I got an email from her. She said, "You were definitely a stepping stone on my path back to the church." Right? So that one little conversation about the rosary. Now, again, let me say this. The rosary, I think, is a powerful prayer, but it's not required. Okay, if there's another prayer, a Chaplet of Divine Mercy or a novena or something that hits you and draws you closer to God, then use that. But Mary's last words in Scripture are, "Do whatever he tells you," right? So everything we're doing in the rosary, reflecting on the mysteries of Christ, Mary, we use those prayers to draw us closer to him, okay? And so it's really about letting yourself go and seeing yourself in those mysteries connected to Christ. And what I would recommend to give a try is the scriptural rosary, Mary. So after every before you begin the next Hail Mary in the decade, there's a one line of scripture that helps you stay focused on the mystery as you're praying it. So it's called the scriptural rosary. I would say try that and see if that helps you.
Okay, Mary?
Oh, it's been very, very, very helpful. Thank you so much. But I also, I think it's my own personal thing. My mind just wanders.
Oh, you and me both,
yep.
Mary.
Well, same thing happens to me in adoration sometimes, Mary.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Okay, same thing happens to St. Teresa of Jesus. She talks about that, and she's going to adoration to be connected to Christ. Also, her mind's thinking about something else. Yes, just stay with it. Same thing. Adoration sometimes takes a while for you to calm yourself down enough. It may take several visits before you're comfortable with silence, and then you begin to embrace the silence, Mary. Then you enter into the silence. I think it's the same thing with the rosary. The more you pray the rosary, the more you just be able to embrace the mysteries, and then you begin to enter in more deeply and fully into those mysteries.
Mary, thank you very, very much. I'm going to keep moving because now, of course, every line is full. So we got a lot of people to get to. So I'm going to go to Robert in Poland, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Robert, go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Hello, gentlemen. Well, you know what? I'm a fairly, I think, new Catholic. 2018, I converted, and I just love the faith. And
praise God.
I used to listen to Catholic radio 24/7, and I kind of got a little away from it. Yeah, well, I was listening to Christmas music, so you can forgive me for that. But then I turned it on tonight, and I heard Deacon Harold, and something about his voice and his energy. I'm like, oh, man, I miss hearing this guy. So that was going to just be my comment and attaboy and how great it is to have him on the radio and how I've missed him. But he made a comment, and it got me to thinking as I was driving around waiting to get off hold. I struggle with this, too. I'm a new Catholic, and like at work, everybody likes to tease me because I drive everybody nuts. New Catholics do. But there's a young lady, and I know her heart believes in God and Jesus. But the biggest thing for her is just she's turned away from the church because the people that go there, there's any number of reasons that, you know, that turn her off because they might be, you know, infidelity, and they're taking the Eucharist and doing this and doing that.
Right.
And I love the quote that Deacon Harold said was just focus on what the church teaches, not those that are going to church. So I did want to mention that. And I think that's really helpful, but it's still tough to.
Well, of course.
Get that through to people.
Right, right. Robert, thank you very much. Deacon?
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, regarding myself, you know, I am just an instrument, right? God's the musician. You know, so when you go to a concert, right, you don't clap for the oboe and say, oboe, you did a great job tonight. Violin, oh, man. Bass drum, you got it tonight. No, nobody does that. You clap for the musicians. So all I'm trying to be is a well-tuned instrument in God's hands. I mean, I recognize that God is using me, so I want to be the best and most finely tuned instrument so God can use me for his glory, right? Psalm 115, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. So everything I want to do is to help others draw more closely to Jesus. But you're right. You cannot focus on the people in church. You have to focus on the teachings that are true and good and beautiful because we're all sinners in need of God's mercy. So you've heard me talk about Father Augustus Tolton, the first black priest in the United States who, had experienced extreme racism his entire life, was rejected from every seminary in the United States because he was black. And even after he became a priest, the white priest told the white parishioners going to his parish that his parish was only for the blacks, and that if you went to his church on Sunday, it didn't count for your Sunday obligation. So why did the man stay in the church? If he would have left and became Protestant, nobody would have said, oh, yeah, I understand why he left. Look what he has to go through. Look at what he has to endure. But he recognized. He constantly said, this is the church for our people, right? For our people. This is why? Because he focused on the teachings, not the people. And what he tried to do was enter into dialogue and say, wait a minute, why are you not living what you're professing every Sunday, right? You're like a Pharisee or a scribe. That's why Jesus was so angry at them. They're preaching one thing and living something else, you know, but that cannot take you away from your focus on Jesus and focus on the teachings and the beauty of the Catholic faith. Sometimes I get frustrated too when I look at some of the nonsense that's going on, but I stay laser focused on Jesus Christ and the church that he founded, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Amen, amen. You have a book about Father Augustus Tolton. Tell us the name of the book just before I go to the break.
Yeah, Father Augustus Tolton, the slave that became the first African-American priest. It's actually a book about what lessons we can learn from the life of Father Tolton.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Robert, thanks very much for that very kind call. We'll lots more questions for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Friday, and that means a new episode of the Sunday Catholic Word from Carla Broussard is available today. So if you want to get started on your Sunday readings from the perspective of a great Catholic apologist, check out SundayCatholicWord.com. SundayCatholicWord.com. Our guest this hour, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and calls from all over the world for Deacon. So we're going to go to Seoul, South Korea. Luke is watching on YouTube in Seoul, South Korea. Hello, Luke. It's very nice to speak with you again.
Hello, Mr. Fry. Nice to speak to you again.
We appreciate you getting up early in the morning to listen to the show. Am I right? Early in the morning?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I
yes, it's almost 9 a.m. here.
Almost 9 a.m. Oh, well, it's not that early. All right. Well, yeah. we're go ahead with your question for Deacon.
All right. Deacon, thank you for being here, for being on Catholic Counselors. I'm so glad that you're here. So my question is this. We live in a world right now that is filled, that has lost her moral values. And if you look at schools and other institutions, you realize that a lot of things have gone wrong. And as a Christian, it's sometimes very difficult for you to live your Christian life and not including some of these things. So how do you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God in this our present present life? So,
especially, I suppose now, Luke, when Caesar doesn't want you to give anything to God. So, how do you make that? How do you do that, Deacon Harold?
Yeah, so it's about, for me, Father, it's about priorities, right? Is he a priest? Did he say he was a priest?
No, he said a Christian. I've never asked Luke. Are you a priest, Luke?
No, I'm not a priest.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, so give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So, and this is what Jesus Christ himself teaches, right? And even St. Paul alludes to this in his letters where he talks about, you know, making sure we pay our taxes and making sure we follow just laws, right? What's called positive or human law, which is the natural moral law lived out within culture and society. And so, you know, we are supposed to follow those laws and to pay our taxes, all those things. But the first priority is to give to God, right? To give ourselves totally and completely to him, where he becomes the heart and the center of my life. So our priorities are God, family, and then everything else after that. Okay. So yes, we give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but we have to give first and foremost what belongs to God. And what is that? The gift of ourselves. Because remember, at the end of our life, Luke, God's going to ask us for the talents back that he gave us. So, for example, Luke, at the end of my life, he's going to say, I gave you three talents, fatherhood, diaconate, and being a husband. Where's my tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold return back on the investment that I made in you? Are we going to sit back and say, well, I was afraid to use what you gave me because I was afraid of ridicule. I was afraid people are going to like me. They're going to defriend me on Facebook. They're going to deplatform me. You know, and so I buried what you gave me under a rock. He's not going to go for that. You know, he said, wait a minute. So I can imagine Jesus saying, wait a minute. Let me see if I got this straight. I was beat half to death by scourging. I carried the instrument of my death up a hill, dying the most excruciating, humiliating, painful death known to human history at that time. And I did that for you. And you can't take when somebody calls you a name because you're not afraid to stand up for what I gave my life and died for. Remember what Jesus says. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account, right? So we have to follow the path, Luke, of the saints, right? Someone told me last year, I was speaking, they said, it's International Women's Month. Oh, fantastic. Let me tell you about some international women. Felicity, Perpetua, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia. Those women died rather than deny Jesus. Right? They were given a choice. Deny your faith in Jesus Christ or die. They died. They gave to God what belongs to God. In their case, it was literally their life. We're not, at least not yet, in this country being asked to give our lives for our faith, but we're to give ourselves totally, fully, and completely, just the way Jesus broke himself out and poured himself out on the cross in love for us. We are to break ourselves open and pour ourselves out in love to God and to our neighbor as ourselves. That must come first. And the sacraments, the grace of the sacraments, help us to do just that.
What do you think, Luke?
Well, that's a great answer. Thank you very much.
Well, we always are so happy when you call. And now I know you're not a priest, so I got that. I'm little by little, I'm building up a file on Luke from South Korea, and now I've got one more detail to go in there. Luke, I got a bunch of folks still on the line, so I'm going to move on. But thank you very, very much. Renee in Virginia is next, watching on YouTube. Renee, go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Very well. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. I'm glad you can hear me. I have poor cell coverage, so I'm going to go really quickly because if my call drops accidentally, I'll listen to the answer off the air.
Okay.
But I'm having a little trouble. I'm having trouble expressing in words my question, so you might be able to help me out a little bit. If you get the drift of what I'm trying to say, please interrupt me. Okay, so the idea is, I love Catholic Answers, all of our wonderful Catholic apologists. I love you guys so much, and I'm doing very well in learning things about how to defend my faith and how to minister and evangelize to people and talk about my Catholic faith. Now, I've heard Carlo Brusart talk about this literally just a few days ago, and then I've heard Tim Staples talk about this on Catholic Answers, and that is the questions that people have about having salvation if you are a non-Catholic, and the whole idea about the person being ignorant, they have a chance for salvation. If I minister or tell someone about my faith, it is in front of him. In front of them, I have presented it to them. So they now have been spoken, they have now heard the truth. So if they still don't believe it or don't reject it, I feel guilty, like, yeah, as they were ignorant, they had a chance for salvation. But now I've given them the truth, and if they lose their salvation because they don't accept what I'm teaching them, am I at fault now for them losing their salvation?
All right, let's Deacon Harold. That's a tough one, Deacon.
Okay, so just the quick answer is no, you're not. And so let's back up. What does the church teach about extra ecclesia nulla solus, no salvation outside of the church? So the Second Vatican Council in the document Lumen Gentium teaches that an individual who through no fault of their own, so they didn't come to know who Jesus is, the missionary never made it to their village, They grew up as Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu their entire life, never exposed to Jesus through no fault of their own, but live according to the dictates of the natural moral law. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. If we cooperate with the natural moral law to the best of their ability, they have the possibility of salvation. Why? Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So you have to go through Jesus. So that salvation will come, or at least the opportunity for salvation will come after they die. Because when they die, they're going to see Jesus Christ. They're going to know the fullness of truth. And at that point, in justice, God will give them a choice, because now they're going to be confronted not just with a truth, but truth itself in Jesus Christ. Then they're going to be able to make a decision for Christ. Now, our job is to evangelize, not to proselytize, but to evangelize, to bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ. Our job is to try to do that to the best of our ability. So when we do that, we share our faith with someone, that person still has to appropriate that faith, right? So they hear what you're saying, but they have years and years and years of believing whatever they believe, or if atheists, whatever, you know, actually atheists believe there's no God, so they believe something, right? So they believe this their entire life. One conversation with you is not going to change that, right? But it's the continuing dialogue. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. It's saying, I'm not trying to convince this person. I'm not trying to convert this person. All I'm doing is giving an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work. I am throwing a seed of faith. What does St. Paul say? I seeded, Apollos watered, God gave the yield, right? And so that's what we're doing. We're planting seeds of faith. And then that person, if they're truly listening, if they're truly seeking truth, then the Holy Spirit will begin, even though they're not baptized, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in that person to direct them toward the truth. Now, if that person comes to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Savior, that he is the one true God, the Catholic Church is the church that he founded, they come to know that and they freely reject that, that Jesus says is the only unforgivable sin, a sin against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is leading them to truth and they're rejecting that truth given to them by the Holy Spirit. You are not culpable for that. But what you would be culpable for is if you had an opportunity to share the faith and you didn't. All right. So that's where you may be helpful, but you're not accountable for that individual person's soul in that instance. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes great sense.
Good. And I'm glad the cell phone held out, Renee. Thank you very,
yes,
very much.
See, I'm holding very still right now. All right, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Renee.
I think we can get Christian on in Austin, Texas. But Christian, you will have to be remarkably quick if you'd like an answer from Deacon, because we are short of time.
No problem. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
All right. Hey, real quick. Okay, so my wife and I are currently in process of discerning Catholicism as a whole, but I say I'm a little closer than she is. But question is, we have a four-year-old, and in terms of formation for him, going to Sunday school obviously is one thing at Protestant church. What would our role be, and how would we really fulfill that well if we did become Catholic and started attending Mass? Because there's, I know it's a big difference as far as what is directed to him.
Well, let's let Deacon physically answer, because it's just very short time. Christian, God bless you.
Yeah, thank you for that question. And so here's the thing. We can pay all the lip service we want to the faith, but it's the witness and example. That is the key. Because what happens a lot of times, Christian, you have folks that send their kids to Catholic schools, right? And so the parents make the mistake of outsourcing their responsibility of teaching the faith to their children. They'll say, oh, Catholic schools will do it, confirmation class will do it, youth group will do it, father will do it, you know, and then their job is to feed them, clothe them, take them to soccer, take them to dance class, all these extracurricular activities. But the issue is they learn about Jesus, which is important, and those institutions are necessary, but they exist to support what's supposed to be going on at home, not take the place of it. So when they come home, they're supposed to see the faith being lived out in love. So your witness and example is more important than anything else. How you witness to the love of Jesus Christ and helping the kids to see that and to appropriate it into their own lives.
Christian, you can probably hear the music. Thank you very much for the call. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, thank you so much. The dynamic deacon.